I am recording these because not everyone can make it every week, and so they've asked for that. Okay, this is session 3, which means I heard Kim explaining it. This is the third time we've been through Bible for those that weren't with us in the winter and spring sessions. And if you want any of those notes and stuff, if you haven't been with us before, I've got those. I can get them to you afterward. But this is, of the 8 key characteristics of a disciple, we're on just characteristic number 2, which is Bible. A disciple is committed to growing in their understanding of the Word of God. And the 2 passages I have there, the first one, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. I want to read to you, if you remember, if you were here 2 weeks ago when we started, that was on prayer, and I read to you a rather long quote from this book, Radical, and it talked about prayer, and he talked about how when he was in Korea and got woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning because the Koreans had filled an entire football stadium to pray at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I want to read to you another long quote from this book, Radical, by David Platt. I often ask members of our church if they are receivers or reproducers of God's Word. That's a good question right there, isn't it? I often ask members of our church if they are receivers or reproducers of God's Word. Let me illustrate the difference. Imagine being in Sudan. You walk into a thatched hut with a small group of Sudanese church leaders, and you sit down to teach them God's Word. As soon as you start, you lose eye contact with all of them. No one is looking at you, and you hardly see their eyes the rest of the time. The reason is because they're writing down every word you say. They come up to you afterward and say, "Teacher, we're going to take everything we have learned from God's Word, translate it into our languages, and teach it in our tribes." They were not listening to receive, but to reproduce. Now journey with me to a contemporary worship service in the United States. Some people have their Bibles open, while others don't even have a Bible with them. A few people are taking notes, but for the most part, they are passively sitting in the audience. While some are probably disengaged, others are intently focused on what the preacher is saying, listening to God's Word to hear how it applies to their lives. But the reality is, few are listening to reproduce. We are by nature receivers. Even if we have a desire to learn God's Word, we still listen from a default self-centered mindset that is always asking, "What can I get out of this?" But as we have seen, this is unbiblical Christianity. What if we change the question whenever we gather to learn God's Word? What if we began to think, "How can I listen to His Word so that I am equipped to teach His Word to others?" This changes everything. All of a sudden, the pen and the paper come out. Note-taking is not now the measure of how committed we are to making disciples, but if we're hearing God's Word taught in order to teach others, then we want to get it down as best we can. When we realize we have the responsibility to teach the Word, it changes everything about how we hear the Word. It also changes who hears the Word. Now the Word that is being preached in a worship gathering or taught in a small group setting is subsequently being translated into context and spheres of influence represented all across the church. God's Word is no longer just being heard in a building, it's being multiplied throughout a community. It's multiplying because the people of God are no longer listening as if His Word intended to stop with them. They are now living as if God's Word is intended to spread through them. Interesting perspective, isn't it? Isn't it true that we tend to read the Bible just for what we can get out of it? Or when we listen to a sermon, we're asking, "What does this have to do with me? How can I apply this to my life?" You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you guys have seen, there's a video that's circling. It's been on YouTube and Facebook and stuff like that. Somebody smuggled in a box of Bibles to an underground church in China. And it's cell phone video, so it's real grainy and fuzzy. And they're ripping this box open because they know it's in it. And when they begin to take the Bibles out, they're all completely overcome. And they just like hold it, and they begin sobbing and weeping because they have a Bible. You know, in an American church, half the time we don't know where our Bible is. And so I want to present to you tonight this idea of that when we study and read God's Word, we do it for the benefit of others as well as ourselves. Matthew 28, 18, starting in verse 18, is what is commonly known as the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus gave us two commands in this final statement. Make disciples, teach them to obey. Now, of course, we have to remember that this command is for all of us. This isn't just for an elite few or just for the pastors. We all have some role in this to play according to our gifts, how we've been gifted. So how are we going to fulfill this great commandment? With the Word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. What if we were to start reading Scripture not just for ourselves, but also with an eye to how we reproduce and how we live to make disciples and how we live out this command of Jesus to make disciples? After all, a key part of discipleship is making more disciples. I can't call myself a disciple unless I'm making disciples. Right? I can't call myself a disciple unless I'm making disciples. That's a key characteristic of what a disciple is. On our sheet are 8 key characteristics of a disciple. It's just characteristic number 6. A disciple is committed to reproducing. So how do we get started? How do we begin to change and think differently about the way we read Scripture to the goal of making disciples? I just have a very few thoughts, and then we'll break into some small groups and talk about it some more. The first one is use Scripture to bless others. The world is full of meaningless opinions. Man, turn on the TV, go on the internet. Meaningless opinion. People want truth, and they want the truth about themselves. The Word of God contains that. Just speak truth, speak the Word of God into people's lives to bless them. Romans 12:14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. You know, that alone will set you apart from the rest of the world. But this can actually begin to change the atmosphere around you. If somebody is cursing you and you return the curses with blessings, you will change the atmosphere. And as a result, you take a step onto the path of making a disciple. Because eventually this person is going to be like, wait a minute, I'm cursing this person and they bless me. What's that about? Right? You just took a step down the path toward discipling that person even though they don't know it. You see, we often think that discipleship has to be in a classroom with somebody teaching the Scriptures, but that's not what Jesus did. Jesus went up to Matthew and said, "Hey, dude, follow me." So just use God's Word to bless people, especially when they curse you. Another one, to instruct or teach. Everyday life. I'm not talking about like a setting like this or in a classroom. I'm just talking about everyday life. Amy shared a story with me the other day. She was at one of Cardine's band events, and she was talking to another mom, and somehow the conversation led to a spiritual direction, go figure. And this mom asked Amy, she's like, "Well, I don't understand the Bible. It's supposed to be written by God, but yet there's all these different authors. Clearly it's written by man, so what's the deal?" That lady just said, "Disciple me." And how do we do it? We use the Word of God. But we have to know the Word of God. 2 Peter 1:20, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So you break out that verse, and you disciple the lady that wants to know what's the deal with Scripture. And you just now used the way you read Scripture and the way you understand Scripture to begin to make disciples. But see, you have to know that verse. I get asked that question a lot. Amy did not surprise me when she said somebody asked me that question. People ask me all the time, well, the Bible's written by man. There's 44 authors. It was written by man. Yes, but they were carried along, as it says here, by the Spirit of God. So as we're reading, as you're reading Scripture, you think about the questions, you think about the objections, you think about the things that you encounter in everyday life, and you read to have an answer for those who will question you about your faith, which is from where? I just quoted Scripture. Who knows where that's from? 2 Peter. All right, so that's the way you read Scripture, to have an answer for those who question you about your faith. Another one, to correct, but in a positive way. Not as a spiritual hand grenade or a spiritual club. Oh, I'm so sick and tired of that. You hear people use Scripture as an offensive weapon. Take that verse, buddy. You know, you see them launching Scripture verses at people in an attacking way. But what if we are to make disciples? I don't ever see Jesus doing that other than to a few religious leaders where he gets kind of snarky with them, but we'll let Jesus do that. So how can we use Scripture to correct? Let me show you what I've learned from Scripture. Somebody comes to you with a problem or a situation, or you're just having a conversation and they're describing something that they've been going through. I'm like, hey, can I show you something that's really been a blessing to me and really changed my life? I want to show you something. And you either quote it or you read it to them. People start talking about, oh, I got so much money problems. I'm like, man, I haven't had a problem with money in 27 years. Praise the Lord. Can I show you how that happened? And I'll quote a scripture verse that talks about money, tithing, honoring God. Or you see somebody chasing hard after money. We see that a lot in our culture. Hey, can I, you know, I used to own my own business, and I ran hard. I ran as hard as anybody. I chased after the dollar, I worked like crazy, drove my family insane. I want to show you a verse that really speaks to my heart. It's 2 Timothy 6:6. And it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. We came into this world with nothing and we'll leave the world with nothing. But if we have food and clothing, we can be content with that. 2 Timothy 6:6. 1 Timothy 6:6. You know, it's really easy to just share that with somebody. And you don't even need to break out your Bible and read it. You can just share it. I want you to listen to these words. You're talking to somebody. Just listen to these words. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We came into this world with nothing, and we're going to leave the world with nothing. My own father died naked in the shower. But if we have food and clothing, we can be content with that. What are you striving after? Wouldn't you be interested, wouldn't you be curious in finding out how it is that we can be content? There's a path to this kind of contentment where we don't have to strive and go after these things. And so you're reading Scripture and you're sharing Scripture in a way that's now based on making disciples. Right? And this is everyday living. When I talk about making disciples, I don't want you always to think about it's got to be in a setting like this. Again, because this is great. This is wonderful. But you all have a call to make disciples where you work, where you live, where you go to school. And they're not going to set foot in here, probably, until you've made some inroads, until you've gained some trust and established a little bit of interest in something, like how do I be content? And so there has to be an everyday way of going about this. And I love Deuteronomy 11:18. It says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. That's everyday life. That's all the time. Talk about Scripture with your family, with your children, with the people around you all the time. When you're walking down the road, talk about Scripture. When you get up, talk about Scripture. When you lie down, talk about Scripture. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's pretty seriously deliberate. Amen. That's pretty seriously deliberate. So that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land and that the Lord swore to your forefathers, as many as the days that the heaven are above the earth. If you carefully observe all these commands that I'm giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. That'd be cool. Every place where you set your feet will be yours. Man, there's a lot of promise in this. God's just saying, just keep my word really near. Like everywhere, like talk about it all the time. Put it all over your house. Put it on the doorpost. Put it on your fence, and I'll bless you. And so it's just an everyday thing. And then as we do that, make disciples. Hey, why is that scripture verse written on your fence post? Because it reminds me to be content. It's just everyday life. It's just what we do. So as we read the Bible with an eye toward others, it can't be from the perspective of, oh, I wish so-and-so would get this. We all do that, right? Oh, that's so-and-so. Man, I wish they just, I want to lob a spiritual hand grenade at them. It has to be from the perspective of blessing. But you think about it, even to teach and to correct when done properly is blessing, right? You know, I wish I had more time to share you stories of how I've been able to just sit down with somebody with an issue that they were struggling with, share one or two verses with them, and they took me serious, which most don't. I'll just warn you right now, most don't. But I've had a few people take me serious and it revolutionized their life, just completely revolutionized their life. I know a young lady that when I met her, had all kinds of troubles in her life, financial woes, you name it. I sat down with her. I'm painting Cardine's bedroom. I had this young lady over. I put a chair just outside the room and said, you sit there. I gave her a piece of paper. I said, you read the questions. We're going to talk while I paint. I just shared a couple scriptures verses with her, and it changed her life. Changed her life. She got a job. She got a better job. She got a boyfriend. She got a fiance. She got a new car. Because I discipled her with just a few scripture verses. So we read scripture to bless others. It has to be beyond us. It has to be reproducing beyond us. Okay, we'll break into our small groups. And again, this little paragraph we'll have on there every week. Discipleship isn't about the accumulation of information. It's about changed minds, changed hearts, and becoming more like Jesus. Jesus made disciples everywhere he went. It's about being obedient to Jesus' command and call. How will you use the information shared tonight to bring about that kind of change? I got quite a few questions on there. You might not get through all of them, but the first few I want you to focus on. The one about the book, Hunger in Other Parts of the World. All right, so if you were in James and Catherine's group last week, come back over to this corner. If you were in John and Nancy's group, you're over there in the prayer room. Youth can go to the youth room. Now the youth are dismissed. Now Brianna can lead the youth group. And if you weren't here, pick a group last week. If you weren't here, John and Nancy are over there, James and Catherine are over here, just pick a group. But you'll be in that group from now on.